Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as I've been looking, you know, you look on Facebook, and every time that somebody puts something about being under stress, under pressure, and under a strain, and somebody puts somebody on there, and they'll put a something on there, and they'll put a verse of scripture or something. And it is unreal how many people start responding to that, saying, "Oh, I needed that. Oh, thank you." Anybody ever noticed that besides me? And I got to think, we live in a world of stress and pressure. We live in a world, I mean, the kids live in it at school and everywhere else. We live it on the job. Our world is just a pressure world right now. You know, I told my wife the other day, the only reason that I'd like to go back to the 50s, the only reason is that there wasn't as much pressure. Everything, anybody know about the 50s besides me? How many of y'all remember there wasn't as much stress, there wasn't as much pressure, huh? Am I right or wrong? That's right. But we can't, you know, we can't go back, you know. But in Matthew 26, 69, I want to read this. And you're going to wonder where I'm going with it, but I'm going to read it and you'll find out. Matthew 26, start with 69. Looks like everybody got it. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know him. Well, I don't know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied it with an oath, "I don't know the man." A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. I think this is a picture of an individual under some stress and pressure. What do you think? We all face it. You know, the words of people and what people say many times bring a lot of press, a lot of stress, and a lot of pressure on us. You know, many of us have jobs where if we don't successfully meet a quota on our job, I mean, I used to have that when I was working in a plastic manufacturing company from 11 to 7 every night, going to Bible school, making plastic bowls. I had to make so many bowls each night. And if I didn't reach my quota, when I came to clock in the next night at 11 o'clock, there would be a note attached to my time card that said, "You missed your quota last night. If you miss it tonight, don't bother to come back." That's a little pressure. Yeah. You know, and there's pressure of providing for the family. There's pressure in the church world. You know, how many of you felt any pressure or stress today? Come on, be honest. You felt pressure or stress today. We all feel it in some way or another most every day. You know, did you ever notice how words from other people can really get to us? Your work isn't good enough. You're not nice to me anymore. You know, if you don't pay the rent, you're going to get evicted. If you don't pay the car payment, we're going to repossess your car. That will cause you some stress. I guarantee you that. Some pressure. You know, so there's so many things. And we're not careful, we allow pressures and stresses to get us away from following God and not staying steady with the Word. Now, what can we do to stay steady in the midst of pressure? Well, I want to go read again from Peter, but this time from Luke 5:1. Luke 5:1. Okay, everybody found Luke 5:1? One day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and talked to Peter. People, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let the nets down." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at their catch of fish. Now, he was under pressure. He wasn't out there fishing all night for fun. He was fishing for livelihood. And he hadn't caught anything. Now, here they are. They're cleaning their nets. And if any of you know anything about commercial fishermen, when they come in, they rewash their nets and they get everything ready and they get it all ready to go out the next day and to do the same thing all over again. Now, I want you to notice that here the Word of God will show us how if we'll listen to this. Now, I want you to notice that Peter made a statement that will help you get through your stress. He said, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, you see, we've got to get to the point, because God says so, we let go of our stress. We need to trust him. See, Peter trusted and obeyed the word of God. When he trusted and obeyed the word of God, he relieved his pressure. He caught so many fish, he probably didn't even need to go the next day. Because he caught enough to sell for 2 days, probably, especially if you sink in the boat with who got so many fish. But you see, trusting and obeying the word of God is what will keep you out of stress, out of the pressure. You see, any time that you're confused and under pressure or stress, you better start checking, are you really believing God's word, or are you just merely saying the phrase? Are you really believing it, or are you just quoting what the Bible says? See, there's a difference between just saying what the Bible says and believing and saying what the Bible says. Now, there's a lot of people, you talk to them, they will tell you what they know you want to hear, but they don't really believe it. Come on now, listen to me. Trust and obey God, and it'll help you. Now, listen, in the natural, if you need to learn to obey your superiors at work. You need to learn to obey those that are over you. You know, trust and obey God, and also to trust what the people that are over you when they tell you to do something. You know, now number two, Peter did not think he knew more than Jesus. Now that's an interesting statement. He did not question when Jesus told him to go back out there, exactly where he'd been all night, exactly where he hadn't caught any fish, and he said, "Go back out there." Now, he was an experienced fisherman, and Jesus didn't know, like we say down in Texas, where I come here from Sikkim, about fishing. Now, any of y'all Southern people understand that? How many Southern people understand that statement? Yeah. That means he didn't know nothing about it, okay? That's just something we say. I don't even know why we say it. How many of you guys from the South ever heard that statement? How many of you? Sometimes I say things, I'm wondering, why do we say that in the first place? You know, I mean, you grew up with it, you heard your grandparents say it, and you just do it. But he knew nothing about fishing. Now, if it had been a carpenter shop, he might have known something about carpentry, because he grew up in the home of a carpenter. So he might have knew something about that, but he didn't know nothing about fishing. But he said, go out there and let the net down. You see, Peter didn't question. How many times have you ever noticed that sometimes people will question a superior or others that have authority? Hey, don't you think God knows more than you do? But some people question it. You know, and superiors know more than you do. There's one thing in the army, I know we say, I don't know about the other military. There's the army way, the right way, and the wrong way, and as long as you're in the army, you're going to do it the army way. Anybody ever heard that before? You don't question. You do. In fact, that drill sergeant will tell you, you do what I tell you to do, and if you got questions, you can ask them later if you got the guts to. For you other people, that means intestinal fortitude. Isn't it funny how we will question certain things with certain people and others we don't question at all? And yet, we shouldn't question God, but many times, many people question God. Well, no, wait a minute. I don't know that I understand that. I don't know about that now. Wait a minute. How come you don't question whether if you step out in that street in front of a truck, whether it will run over you or not? See, you got to learn not to question some things. You got to learn not to question people. You got to learn to begin to realize that you don't know it all. Some people think they know everything. Now, a third thing, and I'm getting through this faster than I thought I would, as I was thinking about this, Peter did not put up any kind of argument when Jesus said, go let the nets down. He said, at your word, I will. Now, a lot of people would have put up, wait a minute, Jesus, I've been out there all night. I didn't catch anything. Why do you want me? We just now got the nets all ready for tomorrow. Why do you want me to go back out there? Now, y'all are all quiet looking at me like this. I hope it's because I got you thinking. I hope it's not because you're not enjoying what's being said. If you're not, that means that you're not in tune with God. I don't mince words usually. You know that. But let me tell you what. Peter did not label his words as ridiculous. Now, a lot of people would have. Now, it doesn't tell us, but I wonder what his crew, because he wasn't out there by himself. Wonder what they thought about this. I wonder where they were going with this. Now, they may have questioned Peter. But from Peter's words of saying, okay, at your word, I'm going to do it. I'm sure he told them, said, hey, either get in the boat and get with me or go home, don't come back. Hello? You know, I guess the work world is a whole lot different than it used to be when I was working. But when I was a teenager and then in college working, you know, I've heard people, you know, if they come by and said, hey, you're working overtime tonight, there wasn't none of this. Well, I got plans. I got to do this. I got to do that. They wasn't none of that. If you did say that, they say, okay, go take care of your plans. Hey, here's your check. Don't come back. Now, somebody said, oh, that's hard. But how many of you remember when that's the way it used to be? Now, I don't know about today sometimes. I have to be careful sometimes. But, I mean, you know, if a person's supposed to work, then they're going to work. That's right. That's the way I was taught. If you're going to work, work. If you're not, then don't work. Yes. You know, some people, you know, if you come in and something's going to change, they fuss. If they're told to do something different, they want to fuss about it. You ever notice that? Some people don't like change. They don't like anything new. I asked right over in my office a few years ago, I asked somebody, I said, why are we doing this? That's the way we always done it. I said, well, this is 19 so-and-so, and you started doing that back in 19. Well, I think time has changed. I believe if I was you, I would get up to date. Now, that was back many years ago when I was the only one in charge, and I didn't have nobody underneath me, and I had to crack the whip. But thank God I don't have to do that no more. I got people underneath me can do that. And I get to be the good guy. I played the other side of the road. It's more fun on this side of the road. Let them take the heat. But, you know, I read this definition. It says unknown. The definition is stupidity. Doing something the way you've always done it and expecting something different to happen. Doing something the way you always have done it and expecting something different to happen. Yes. Yes. Because Peter did something different, he got what others didn't. Yes. He got a boatload of fish. Amen. Because he didn't question, he went out there. Now, another thing we need to look at here is Peter considered the words of Jesus to be true. We have to, if we're going to get out of stress, we have to consider these words to be true. Not just mentally agree to it, mentally assent. We've got to really believe that they're true. This is the inspired word of God. I mean, there are many theological institutions and many theologians now that are trying to change their, or are changing their mind and saying, well, maybe not all the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. I was reading something on that a while back. It's either all the inspired Word of God or none of it's the inspired Word of God. There's not no half and half. You know why? Because God said that He didn't like, it was either hot or cold, there wasn't no middle. And see, that's the way, you know, maybe some of it is and some of it's not. There's no, it's either God's word or it's not God's word. And you're the one that make up your mind. Yes. I can tell you what I believe. I can tell you what the word of God says. I can tell you all that. And you probably read it yourself. But you're the one that's going to have to make up your mind whether you believe what this is or not. You're the one that's going to have to make up your mind whether you believe God or whether you don't believe God. I can talk to you about it all day long. I can tell you what it'll do for you. I can tell you what believing God's word, putting it into action in your life will do for you. But until you really believe it and begin to do it, it's to no avail. Yes. I can't make, God can't make anybody do anything. If God can make people do what He wanted them to do, why don't He make everybody get saved and let's just get out of this mess? Come on. Come on now. You see, we need the attitude that God's word is good and that God will perform His word in our lives. Now, I realize we all agree to that, but do you really believe that? See, that's the question you got to ask yourself. If you'll notice, a lot of times you agree with something, but do you really believe it? There's a difference between agreeing with something and actually believing it. Oh, y'all are looking at me really funny now. But that's the truth. Sometimes, when somebody's talking to you sometimes, you just sort of agree with them, even though you don't believe it, just to get them to shut up. You're tired of hearing about it. You know it's not true in the first place. How can it be? You know, some people, they got stories. I mean, and you begin to listen at them, and there ain't no way in the world that ever happened. Not with them, anyway. You ever notice sometimes there are some people, if you say something or talking about something, I'm talking about among Christians, somebody always pops up and they got a bigger and better story that they did. Not long ago, I somewhere talking about one of them, our crusades, and somebody getting healed. And then this person had, they had been on the mission field, and they began to talk about what all that happened in their life. You know, so I just went another direction. You know, I just quit talking. But, you know, we need to consider that he will watch over his word and will fulfill it. He says that in Jeremiah 1:10, I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Now, we have no problem in believing the car dealer when we go in and talk to him about the car. We have no problem believing the attorney when we go talk to him about our whatever it is we're talking to him about. We have no problem believing what the real estate agent says when we talk to them. We have no problem believing what the doctor says. We have no problem. We take our car in. The mechanic said, I believe you got a ring that's not right, or I believe you got this or that. We believe all of these people when they tell us something, because they have a track record, they have studied, they are doing this. This is what they do for a living. This is what they do. I don't know about this stuff, but they do. We accept their word. Am I right or wrong? Huh? Are y'all there? How many of you have ever taken your car to a mechanic? Okay, keep your hand up. How many of you, he's told you what he thinks wrong with the car and what it's going to take to fix it. You believe what he said. Now keep your hand up if you did this. And you said, okay, fix it. Huh. Why did you believe him? Because he said so, and he's supposed to be the mechanic. Well, God is God. And we talk about who he is and what his power is and what he can do. Now, why don't we believe what he said and act on it just like we did the mechanic's word? You know, we need to learn to rest in the word. He said it. We rest in that. Let the pressure go. Let the stress go. God, hey, God, I turn that over to God. He'll take care of that. Now, I hear people say this all the time. They don't. You can tell because you got to talk to them a couple of days later. Oh, man, I don't know, man. I just don't know about all that. Man, I used to, you know, I grew up in a church where they come down to the altar and pray. And people come down there, they give a call. Oh, well, y'all come to the altar if you need to get your pressure relieved and so forth. They come down and they kneel down at the altar. and they'd pray, Lord, take away these burdens, Father. I roll my burdens over on you. They get up and walk away, and they pick them up and put them back on and carry them on. They didn't, wasn't no use them going down there. Hello? Now you're laughing at me, but it's the truth. They pick them right back up. Before they get out of the church, somebody's talking to them about their problem and their pressure and their stress. Yeah, I know. I just don't know what I'm going to do about it. Hey, you should tell them. Oh, yeah. Hey, I got rid of that. It's that. If you want to talk about that, go down there. It's down there. I left it at the altar. That's where it is. If you want to talk about that stuff, go down there. That's where it is. I don't have it no more. That's the way we got to do. Hey, it's either that or continue to go with stress. Now, you can be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and still walk around with all your problems and all your stress, but God said you don't have to. Hello? Peter, in this lesson, on this stress here, see, the first lesson where he's under stress and strain, it was called to his attention what Jesus said. Now he went out and repented of it, wept bitterly. Here, he went out and did what he was told to do. God will not ask you to do his part. He will only ask you to do what he tells you to do. This is where your belief comes in. You do what God has told you to do, and you let him leave the other part up to him. See, you got to do what he said to do, and then he'll do what he is supposed to do. Okay, my dad told me, all right, son, you do this, and you take care of this, and I'll do this for you. Okay, I do that. Now, I go do it on his word, but when I do what I do, now he is duty bound to do what he said he would do. That's exactly what happens in the Word of God. When we do what God says to do, then he is duty bound to do what he said he would do, or he's a liar. And the Bible says he can't lie. And when somebody is not getting something, most of the time, it's because they haven't fully done everything that they are supposed to do. Have you ever noticed how people try to get away with doing a little bit of it and not doing the whole thing? Maybe you haven't, but I have talked to a bunch of them in over the years. You know, some people, and I'm going to get in the natural now. I'm going to get over on the natural side on that a little bit. You know, some people are under stress because they're always trying to run somebody else's business. I'm going to say this. Some of you ain't going to like it. But, you know, sometimes parents get themselves under stress because they're trying to run their married kids' lives. Hey, that's their life. You took care of your family the way you did. Now, they may not be taking care of their family the way, and they may not do everything. I'm not talking about doing things wrong, all that. Oh, you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the way they do holidays, the way they do something else. Hey, that's them. I'm sure you didn't do everything the way that your parents wanted you to do when you got married and established your family either. But you're going to be under stress if you're always trying to tell them how to run their business, and then all of a sudden there seems to be a breach. Well, I guess so, because you're trying to, they've grown up, they're on their own now, and now you're still trying to treat them like a little kid. Now, I'm not talking about kids at home, okay? I'm talking about people that are married and going out. Oh, come on, come on. And then there's some people try to run other people's lives That's their friends. Y'all ever seen anybody do that? Anybody ever seen somebody trying to tell their friends that? How many of you had one of your friends tell you what to do? Oh, I better get off of that. I can tell right now that I done got over in the wrong lane here. I'm fixing to have a head-on crash. I better get back over in this other lane. Hey, you can really lighten your load at work and everywhere else, and even in the church. Do your job and let others do theirs. Don't try to do their job for them. Now, you know, I am always getting myself in trouble with my wife, because I hear her talking on the phone and I try to help her out. And I know better, but because I think that I got a better way of telling it than the way she did. She's doing it. The reason some of you guys are laughing at me is because you do the same thing. How many of you guys will admit you do the same thing? And we might as well keep our mouth shut. You can lighten it. And you know, we can lighten our loads if we'll just do what we're supposed to do and let the other people do what they're supposed to do. We can lighten our load with God if we'll do what God told us to do and let Him take care of the other part. You know, it would have been really crazy if Peter went out there and let the nets down, and then he got out in the water. Come on, fish, get in my net. Get in my net. Everybody would have thought he's crazy. He did his part by letting the net down. Now, God's got to do his part by getting the fish in there. I don't know how he got them in there, but he got them in there somehow. You know? And that's another thing. After God does something for us sometimes, we start trying to figure out how it happened. Hey, quit trying to figure out how it happened. Just thank God it happened. You know, life will give you pressure. You'll have stress, demands. But here, I think we've taken these little lessons from this story, these stories here. And I think if we'll let God be God and us be us, we'll find out when we do our part, He'll do His part and what He promised, and life's going to be a whole lot better. Y'all, Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your care on Him. That's stress, that's pressure, that's everything. Cast it on Him. Cast means to throw off, throw away. Am I correct? So that's what he said. Cast it, throw it away, get it out of here. Get it over here. Let me hold it. I'm bigger and stronger than you are, so let me take it. You go on down the road and enjoy life. So that's, if you're facing stress, if you're facing pressure, just say, okay, Lord, I'm throwing it off on you. Here it is. I'm not going to be stressed about it anymore. I'm just going to praise you that it's going to be taken care of. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. Father, tonight I thank you that as we've talked for a few moments about the way we have our stress and our pressures in this life, Father, I thank you that you have shown us that we can throw it over on you and you'll take care of it. But help us to learn how to do our part and let you do yours. And help us in the natural also, Lord, to do what we are supposed to do and let other people do their jobs. And we'll all have a better life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.